From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Crime is up in Canyon County. That, according to the Idaho State Police Crime in Idaho report, crime went up more than 10% just from 2021 to 2022 in Canyon County. And violent crime, like murder and assault, went up dramatically. That's the conclusion of a group of Canyon County leaders who have teamed up with Idaho's U.S. attorney to fight what they're calling a dramatic rise in violent crime in that county. Let's take a listen.
The United States Attorney's Office for the District of Idaho and its law enforcement partners have seen a dramatic rise in violent crime in Canyon County.
This trend has led to an increase in gun violence and drug trafficking cases. These crimes are being committed with an apparent disregard for consequences, or with the belief that there will be no consequences.
Let this be a warning. Violence and gang-related crimes will not be tolerated, and law enforcement throughout Canyon County and the Treasure Valley is redoubling our efforts to reduce gang violence.
The Treasure Valley Metro Violent Crimes Task Force is comprised of FBI agents, sheriff deputies, and police officers who work directly with prosecutors at the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Canyon County Prosecutor's Office. These resources are dedicated to reducing gun violence, drugs, and other gang-related activity from the streets of the Treasure Valley.
Federal crime means federal time. Federal prosecutions mean tougher sentences and no early release. There is no parole in the federal system. Offenders serve real time.
Included in those voices were U.S. Attorney Josh Hurwit and Rex Ingram, Caldwell Chief of Police. They're joining us now. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thank you, Gemma. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon. Thank you.
So, Chief Ingram, let me start with you. Just how bad is violent crime in Canyon County?
Well, when you look at and you compare prior years, we're seeing an increase in shootings and ag assaults, which we haven't seen in over a decade. And that's due to a lot with people getting out of prison and just the younger generations coming out onto the street and trying to make a name for themselves.
Do you think that that's where we're why we're seeing that rise in crime? That is the cause? Or are there or are you seeing other factors as well, Chief?
Well, I think there's a lot of different factors. There's multiple prongs to this. But one of the main reasons is that some of our, you know, state cases are just not getting the prosecution they deserve, which is partly why we're teaming up with our federal partners, like the U.S. Attorney of Idaho, who are running some of our cases federally. But also, too, you know, there's a lot of kids, teenagers that are out there trying to make a name for themselves in the gang and try to put in work. So we're seeing a huge increase in drive-by shootings and gang-related crimes.
So Josh, let me bring you into the conversation. As Rex mentioned, you know, they feel like some of these cases aren't necessarily getting the prosecution that they deserve. So where do you and your office come into this?
Yeah, our office comes in to address all types of federal crimes in Canyon County, including violent crimes, firearm offenses, drug trafficking, networks and operations. We work directly with Chief Ingram, his team, and our other partners in Canyon County to build cases that we think will have the biggest impact. So we do that in a couple ways. One, we look at larger networks, whether it's a gang, whether it's a drug trafficking organization outside of a gang. And then we also look at criminal history of certain targets. Have they gone through the state system already and not had a course correction? Are they trafficking in firearms, for example, and a real threat to the safety of the public? So we target our cases, you know, in conjunction with our law enforcement partners through those lenses.
So Chief Ingram, speaking of gangs, you were on Idaho Matters back in May, and we talked about your new OSS gang unit and how you're fighting gang crime. How is that program going so far?
Thank you for asking. It's going very, very well. And one of the main things that I did was, and I spoke to you before, is we're trying to repurpose and reimagine the way we do policing in Canyon County. Specifically, instead of fishing with a net, we're fishing with a hook, and we're surgically removing the bad actors from the community and getting them the help they need, whether it be the justice system or, you know, finding alternative methods to getting them to be where they need be. But I just want to talk about some highlights that over the last couple months since April of 2023. So in April of 2023, we had 190 documented gang members in Caldwell. Since then, we've documented 10 additional new gang members. We've seized 8 firearms, from 7 gang members. All of them were gang members except for one. We've made 100 arrests since April, including aggravated battery, aggravated assault, drug possession with intent to distribute, and felons in possession of firearms. We've arrested multiple parolees at large with federal warrants and state warrants. And there are several currently in the federal process being prosecuted by Mr. Hurwitz's office for possession of firearm by documented gang members. In the last week, the last month, we had 3 drive-by shootings on one of our streets in Caldwell. And in the last week, we've arrested the main suspect in connection with those multiple drive-bys, as well as recovering both of the firearms used and the vehicle used in the crime. And we can't do this without our partners in the community who trust us enough to come to us to give us the information that we need to do our job to protect them, mm-hmm. as well as our federal partners.
So, Chief, my understanding is that some of these criminals are coming from what's known as transcontinental criminal organizations, or it's also known as TCOs. Who are they, and where are they?
So most of the people that we see in the gangs in Canyon County are actually from Idaho. As we do have a lot of cartels coming in from south of the border. So in South America, Central America, and also Mexico. But those are the people that are supplying the streets with the narcotics, the fentanyl, and some of our firearms as well. And that's when we really rely on our federal partners and the U.S. attorney to help us charge those people and take them to federal prison.
And how important is that, Josh, to get involved at that federal level? I mean, in particular, when you know that you have cartels that are bringing things in like fentanyl, right? I mean, not, of course, guns, but we're seeing this crisis, this epidemic with fentanyl across the United States and right here in our area.
That's right. And we've talked about that before, Gemma, the fentanyl crisis.
Yeah.
And our mission is to address it. So handling these cases where there's a connection from Idaho, from Canyon County within Idaho, down to our southern states, down across the border, is the highest priority for my office right now. So we take it very seriously. The benefits of working through the federal system are that we can make connections more easily than my state counterparts can with other U.S. attorneys down by the border. And you mentioned, transcontinental criminal organizations, through the Department of Justice, of which my office is a part, of course. We work across the border with counterparts in Mexico and my colleagues down by the border in Arizona and California and Texas mm-hmm. are actually having a nice series of successes in rooting out some of the cross-border traffic that leads to all the problems that we're talking about today.
I know that both of you are also a part of the Treasure Valley Metro Violent Crimes Task Force. Chief, what is that exactly? And what's the mission of this task force?
So the Treasure Valley Violent Crimes Metro Task Force is a unit comprised of FBI agents, deputy sheriffs, and police officers. And they work directly with the U.S. Attorney's Office to go after our most violent and serious offenders in the community, which oftentimes include gang members who are dealing weapons, narcotics, and just very, very violent people in the community. And it's mm-hmm. been a success for, I want to say, about 17 years now with its inception back in 2005. But we can't do it without the collaboration of all the agencies and the partners.
Chief, you know what I think is interesting about having this conversation is when I first moved here to the Treasure Valley, I'm definitely aging myself, but going on about 24 years ago, there are very few folks in law enforcement wanted to really acknowledge that there was gang activity in the Treasure Valley and that it was an issue. And here we are, fast forward to 2023. We just talked about how violent crime is up in Canyon County, in particular, violent crime. And you can relate so much of that back to gang activity. How important is it just to be transparent about the fact that, yes, there is gang activity here, and yes, we are doing something about it, but if it's swept under the rug, I mean, how can you ever fix the problem?
You're exactly right. I think first and foremost, I want to let the viewers and the listeners know that Caldwell is a very safe place for people to live, work, and play. Just because we have an increase in violent crime doesn't mean they're necessarily going to be a victim of that violent crime. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, with the thing to understand with gangs is that it's very specific, it's targeted, and the entire culture of the gang industry, if you will, is to create that fear and intimidation because they're in a business of making money. And usually the way they make their money is by dealing narcotics or, you know, doing other things. Now, what we don't see in Canyon County, like we do see in Southern California, where I was a gang officer, is in those parts of the country, they're doing robberies and different types of conspicuous criminal things, you know, that you and I could be victims of, you know, going to a taco stand or something. But in Canyon County, it's not like that. There, people aren't just doing street robberies like they do in other parts of the country because we know who they are, you know, and they're very, they're landlocked. And so that's we can use that to our advantage. And then the other thing is, too, most of the people that are doing these crimes, they're juveniles, you know, and they go to schools. And so we can easily identify these people. And that's what we've been doing. The other thing, too, to be transparent and to go back to your original question. Yeah. You know, I think that in law enforcement, sometimes we have a hesitation to inform the public of what of what's happening in the community. But one of my objectives and one of my part of my vision is to be as open as possible with the community because they deserve to know what's happening at their doorstep. And I want them to know that we are doing everything we possibly can to keep them safe. And that's, this is why OSS has been so productive and so successful is because we have people in the community who may have not historically trusted us enough to call us, who are now basically letting us know, who these people are that are committing the crime, which is, you know, it's huge. When you measure success in law enforcement, you measure it by the absence of crime. Well, I would argue that to my, in my personal opinion, the measure of success is when people are reporting crime. And so I don't know if we're necessarily seeing an increase in crime based on the fact that people are just doing more crime, or if it's now people are trusting us more because we built these relationships and the trust within the community. We're a little more legitimate that people are actually reporting the crime to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Josh, how is the U.S. Attorney's Office working to help reduce crime in Canyon County?
So one of the ways that we've done this historically and are continuing to do is what Chief Ingram referred to before with the Metro Crimes Task Force. The task force itself is led by the FBI and consists of federal and local officers and sheriff's deputies. But we have an attorney that's embedded with that task force that meets with them on a weekly basis to look at reports, look at cases, plan our indictments and our operations to recover illegal drugs or unlawful firearms and to take violent offenders off the streets. It's not just that one attorney. It stems and flows from there to other prosecutors in my office so that we can handle as many cases as we need to that involve these violent offenders.
Mm-hmm. And Josh, can federal charges lead to tougher sentences?
Yes, generally they do. You know, it's not a guarantee necessarily because each case is different, of course. But our in our system, the guidelines or the sentences that someone faces are a little bit more strict and laid out in a uniform way across the country so that when we indict someone for a drug case or a firearms violation, we will generally know what the sentence that person will receive within a range. And the judges certainly have discretion, but usually that guidelines range that we use to formulate our strategy is going to be reflected in the outcome. And generally that's going to be a higher sentence in prison than you'd see in state court.
And is my understanding correct that there is that within the federal system, there's no early release, there's no parole?
That's correct.
In the federal system?
Except with some very unique exceptions, but generally that's true.
Okay, so with that said, there is this idea, Josh, within the criminal justice system, and you're well aware of it, is that part of sentencing is to basically not just discourage the individual who is going to prison, but to discourage other people from doing the same crime. It is truly part of the criminal justice system. And do you think that in these cases when your office is coming in, you're able to put a federal charge in place. You are able to get a conviction. Do you think that that does translate in discouraging other people from committing these same crimes?
I do. And you're talking about deterrence, and it's a hard concept to measure. I'll first state that. However, I do think there is something to deterrence. And I've seen this across the country talking with other U.S. attorney's offices where we have rolled out sort of violent crime strategies like the one that we're talking about today. Offenders who may not have ever been exposed to the federal system before, who might be younger, might be on a path to committing more serious crimes, if they learn that their friends, folks they know, are going away to federal prison for 5, 10 more years, that does have an impact, we're finding across the country.
Mm-hmm. And Chief, you know, just anecdotally, with this idea of deterrence, and I mean, as Josh said, you know, it is hard to quantify, but that is a whole part of sentencing. I mean, when a judge sentences someone, they do have to take that into consideration. So from an anecdotal standpoint, do you, when you're talking with folks within your community, does that conversation happen? I mean, I'm wondering if, you know, if someone does, you know, get charged with someone, if other people are like, well, this is why you shouldn't do X, Y, and Z. Is that ever part of the discussion?
It is. I mean, I think people in general, in just in human behavior and American democracy, expect the rule of law to exist. And we, you know, this country is predicated on law enforcement and the judicial system keeping everyone safe so people can live a life and pursue happiness. But that comes with the expectation that the justice system will prevail. And when, mm-hmm. you know, when people need to be held accountable, they're held accountable. But I will say that specifically with Idaho, when people are moving in like myself and moving my family and uprooting my entire life, we choose to go to places that are safe for our children and our children's children to coexist in society. And one of the main decisions that I made coming up to Idaho was that there are stricter sentencing and stuff. But what I realized is that oftentimes, you know, just in the last year since I've been the chief, is that we've had a lot of, and this is all anecdotally, we've had a lot of incidents where the suspect was released early or on a rider program and that violently attacked our officers, you know, or they're in a confrontation. And so that just shows me that, you know, although we don't have zero bail, which is what other states have in the country, mm-hmm. Judges are still using their discretion sometimes and the prison system to release people early, which is unfortunate. But so what we've been doing, the future is that we've been having meetings. I've been having monthly meetings with the director of IDOC, the prison, the director mm-hmm. of parole, the parole commission, as well as the other stakeholders in, you know, specifically in Canyon County, to try to build that relationship and have the communication with the state agencies to figure out, and also to the judges to figure out what, you know, where we're going wrong and why people aren't serving their time like they should be. But when I have these talks or people with the community, and they see like the, you know, the PSA come out, or they hear about in a press release, us working with the U.S. Attorney's Office or working with the FBI to put, you know, some cartel people in prison, I think that sends the message, because I want to say Idaho is one of the only states that's actually vocally voicing what we're doing together at the local, state, and federal level.
Mm-hmm. And with that said, Josh, you are projecting about a 50% increase in prosecutions from the Treasure Valley Metro Violent Crimes Task Force investigations. Is that an accurate estimate?
Yeah, that's our current projection from 2023 over 2022. So we still have 6 more months to go, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I would just mention too that the chief brought up is when he's talking about rider programs and judges releasing people, that's the distinction that has been observed in Canyon County between the state system and the federal system. In the federal system, you know, generally speaking, there's not going to be that type of release or mm-hmm. probationary sentences for someone that we charge with a federal felony. But to get back to your question about this increase, I think there's also something to what the chief has said too. We recognized going back to last year that there was a rise in these types of crimes in Canyon County, and we've surged our resources there with the Metro Task Force, with prosecutors from my office. So I think that 50% increase that we're projecting reflects our strategy to tamp this all down before things increase anymore.
Right. So not necessarily, as the chief said, it's not, oh, crime has gone up so much, but is it being reported more? Are you being able to make more arrests, get more convictions? And with that said, Josh, I know that some of the cases are being prosecuted by the special assistant U.S. attorney that was hired by the Treasure Valley Partnership. So how exactly does that work? And what is this Treasure Valley Partnership?
Yeah, let me take the second part first. The partnership, if you look at the Treasure Valley, we look from Mountain Home to the border with Oregon and cities and towns, as far as Weezer and Parma. And with Boise, with Meridian, with Caldwell, Nampa, they have all gotten together, their mayors, the county commissioners in Ada County and Canyon County, and funded a position in my office that we call the Special Assistant United States Attorney. That's the prosecutor that works most directly, that's embedded with the Metro Crimes Task Force, and that works with them on a daily basis. That's funded by the partnership, of reports to the partnership on the results, and it's just a great additional resource for really the whole of region that wouldn't be there at the federal level without the partnership stepping in to provide that resource.
So I want to ask both of you this question, and Chief, I'll start with you. How important is it to you that there is cooperation among all of these departments that are involved?
Well, it's one of my, I don't know if you go back and when I made my opening speech to the community when I first got appointed as the chief, but one of my main priorities was building a relationship and having that cooperative effort between the agencies, because historically in Canyon County, Caldwell PD has never really played ball in the sandbox with everyone else. And It's unfortunate, because the only way that we can do our job to protect the community is by working with our partners. And that includes all the partners, not just the people we want to work with, but that's everyone. And I think, that by having, when I promoted and hired certain people on the executive team and the leadership team, one of my biggest questions to them during the interview process was, how well do you work with others, specifically other agencies? Because that's been the missing link for the success in Caldwell PD over the last two decades, is just that lack of cooperation. And one of the things that I noticed when I first took office was that all the chiefs that I spoke with in the Treasure Valley said that this was the first time that they had actually worked with Caldwell PD. And that's unfortunate, because at the line level, at the officer level, they've never had a disconnect, but the disconnect was at the leadership level. And so it just reinforced what I've already been doing in my career and working with other people, and my assertion that the missing link was that cooperative effort. But it's so important. It's critical to the mission. Police working with police is just one of the basic foundational principles of law enforcement. We cannot do our job unless we have, the community helping us as well as other law enforcement partners.
And Josh, same question to you, the importance of having all of these departments working together.
Yeah, it's everything. I mean, I think the first thing hopefully you and your listeners can tell is that Chief Ingram and I work closely together. We're on the same page. And that extends just beyond the two of us. It's all the chiefs and sheriffs that we work with. In Idaho, as U.S. attorney, we want to make sure that our strategies are designed to address the criminal problems in this state and in our communities. The best way that we do that, we found, and this is not just under my watch, but I think my predecessors as well, is that if we have tight, strong relationships with local police departments, local sheriff's offices, other agencies, we will know where the problems are arising, and then we can use our resources to complement the state and local resources. And that's, I think, what we're seeing today through our initiative here in Canyon County.
How are you both feeling about this fight against violent crime? And Chief, I'll start with you.
I'm really excited about it. And I think that we have a great team. We have just the partnership has never been better before. And I'm super optimistic. And I think we have a great handle on it, both locally and federally. And I'm just very, very, very confident about my ability to lead, guide, train, motivate, direct, mentor the people that may have never seen this type of, you know, violent crime in their professional life to make a difference. And using our partnerships and our relationships and technology, you know, and data and just being a little smarter than the criminals are.
And Josh, same question for you. Your hopes, your feelings about this fight against violent crime.
We're in a good position. Again, I think the chief mentioned this too. Idahoans shouldn't be fearful, you know, for their personal safety based on these discussions. You know, there's crime in every community, and it's how you address it that defines the community. So for us, we're excited not only because of our law enforcement partnerships, but because of the partnerships we're building with the community itself, with some marginalized communities, with some folks that haven't trusted law enforcement before. I think the chief has done a great job in letting them know that there's new leadership, and I also want to be a part of that. It's all about building that trust between law enforcement in the community so that, as we've talked about today, we have the information to target the individuals that need to be within the criminal justice system.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming on and talking with us about this. It is critically important to be having the conversations and to talk, you know, transparently about it. So thank you both for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Gemma. And thanks for covering this and doing what you do every day.
Well, we really appreciate that. We've been talking with U.S. Attorney Josh Horowitz and Caldwell Chief of Police Rex Ingram about the rise in violent crime in Canyon County, but also what our officials are doing to combat it. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.